Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ready? Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of Dr. Pat's One Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own well-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eldtinge, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 20 years, on the show as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analyst, and transactional analyst. Patricia will help you to better understand Dr. Pat's teachings on how to use communication tools for better relationships. Neither Patricia nor I are therapists, and we do not do any therapy on this show. The One Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship coaching. If you want more information on ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. PATALLEN.com. Before we get started, please grab a pen and paper so you can write down the call-in number to get Patricia's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and he will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number as well as enter the number in your contact list to eliminate it going to spam. Now we will turn you over to Patricia Eldtinge.
Hello, Sue, and everybody out there. I'm here for all of you.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, Patricia. By the way, the second hour from 5 to 6, Patricia will be doing dream interpretation. So between 4 and 5, we do relationship and communication questions. And then from 5 to 6, Patricia will be doing dream analysis. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I've known Pat and we've worked together for close to 30 years now. I've been in the adjunct health field. I had a holistic health clinic for many years in Malibu, California with my former husband. And my avenues went more towards psychology, transactional analysis, and specifically then deeper into the subconscious through the dream work. And that's my book, by the way, is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, by me, Patricia Eldtinge, E-L-T-I-N-G-E. And I'll talk more about that in the second hour, but I also, what I do in the dreams is the three most important things I teach is how to capture your dreams, what dream symbols mean, and how dreams relate to our daily lives. But we will get into that later. And I also get very, very deeply into a person's life script. And that's the programs that have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, even 6 months in utero, from our parents, our schools, our churches, the media, our friends, teachers, etc. So what I do when I get into your script, and this is also something Dr. Pat Allen has done for many years, and I will teach you powerful tools to transform the pain of your past and step into a future filled with freedom and inner peace. So I've been helping people transform their fear into faith and live in alignment with their purpose for over 25 years. And now tonight I'm here with all of you. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you. Next week, we will have Dr. Allen back on, so please join us next week. We do have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Oh, I think they left.
They fell off.
They'll be back. Yeah, next week, we're hoping to get Dr. Allen back on the show. So she will be doing guest appearances, so please join us next week. And hopefully that caller will call us back.
We've got a little bit of static on your end, Sue, but we'll see. Oh, here they are.
Yeah, there we are.
Hi there.
Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. What can we do for you tonight or today?
Okay, well, I'm calling in. I called in last week. I wrote the hi-bye letter. I mean, I wrote the amends letter about 3 weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I called in last week and you said just to be patient and demonstrate what I wrote in the letter.
Yes.
So I completely was and have been, but I did receive a text from him on Saturday.
Yes.
Saying, I miss you. I'm sorry.
That's how it works when you're patient. Do you see how that works when you're patient instead of jumping in and going after them?
Right. So I responded in a way that, because I felt like you said that if he doesn't ask a question, don't ask a question or something like that. So I just responded with, thank you for your message. I miss you too.
That's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. So that was the right response.
He's already baiting you to go after him, but you responded in kind. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was confused. I was like, oh, here's my opportunity to practice it and not ask
questions. Great, great, wonderful. I'm happy to hear you being patient, passive, and receptive.
Thank you. And if I added anything extra to that, oh, I miss you so much, or anything like that, it would have been too much.
Correct.
Okay. And so how does it still stand from now? I'm still just, like you said, in the doghouse, still waiting.
You're still in the doghouse, but you're the door is slightly open a crack.
By who? Him? By him?
Yes, he opened the door a crack, but you're still going to stay in there till you're invited out.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm not pursuing any messages or anything. And
good.
That's all I can do. Okay,
that's all you can do, dear, unless you want to go out and date. Not unless, as well you should be. Are you officially broken up?
I think so. I mean, I broke up with him, so yeah, I guess
you
so.
Broke up with him. So since you broke up with him, you're both can be dating.
I know.
So go flirt with people, at least to keep your skills and your juices flowing.
Yeah, I'm still doing that, like when I go out, but I don't really want to join a dating site or anything.
No, you don't have to do that, but be flirtatious and be open for men wanting to talk with you.
Right. Yeah, I'm being open. I'm trying to be. Some days are better than others. I miss him terribly, so I just...
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're being challenged. Your patience is being challenged, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
Your lack of patience is being challenged.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Dr. Pratt did say on a couple of like private sessions I had with her that he was feminine at times. So if he's feminine, would that not mean I should be masculine to go after him? But I don't really want
to. No, you don't have to. That means you're going to have to be in your masculine. No, you don't have to follow his. Don't be baited by him being in his feminine. Require okay. him to be in his masculine for you. Don't take the bait. Don't take his feminine antics for being emotional in his emotionalism.
See, I always thought that because he's left-handed, so I always thought, oh, is he feminine and left-handed, but in the masculine at times?
Well, so you just know what he is. That's just for you, FYI. That's data for you to log into your mental database. He's left handed, and he's feeling centered, and he's feeling centered, and to be with you, hopefully you will stay in your feminine so that he can be a man with you.
Right. Yeah, that's
he can go be feminine when he hangs out with his guy friends.
Yeah. So he opened the door a little bit, and then And the thing about that, I'm sorry, what if I don't even know what he's sorry about? Is he sorry about not wanting to get back together? I don't understand.
You see, you don't ask.
No, I'm not going to. It's just a bizarre thing. I don't know why he says he's sorry.
That was bait. Don't take the bait.
Oh, to pursue him more and ask him. And
of course.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's only been a few weeks since I wrote the hi-bye letter, and there has been a few messages, so it definitely had an impact.
It does. You're just waiting it out. You're waiting for Godot.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Keep calling us and keep on track, and we'll be here for you.
That's so nice, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, really.
Thank you, caller. We always enjoy hearing back, find out the results. It's a good track record to follow the lesson through from beginning to the end so that the other ladies could see how it operates.
I think there's a caller.
No, there's no. Hello? Oh, there is a caller. Yes, you're on the air with Patricia.
Hi.
Wonderful. Hello, Sue. Hello, Patricia. Shout out to Dr. Pat.
Good, good. We will.
I have a few questions. So a gentleman met me a few weeks ago, and I need some navigation.
Mm-hmm. It's 3 weeks, three weeks, you said?
I'm sorry?
3 weeks, you said?
Yes, actually, it was New Year's Eve. It was an early singles dinner.
Okay, a few weeks. I thought you said 3 weeks. So it's a few weeks. Have you seen him since?
Yes, I've seen him in person. It was a funny thing. When I was speaking to him at the dinner, I realized I go to his place of business as in a consulting capacity. So right after the dinner, and I said, if you go on your website, you'll see me. So he did, and he contacted me a few days later and said, you know, I really enjoyed speaking with you. Do you mind if I, you know, when you're at my place of business, if I came to talk to you? And I said, sure, you know, not absolutely. So we had a nice conversation, and then nothing, because I tried to keep it professional. I don't work for his company, so there's not any kind of problem with that. The next month, he came again to see me, and we just had a nice conversation. And after that, we started texting on the web, on the single site.
Uh-huh. Good.
My question is, we're texting. He has not asked me. We went on that first, I guess, date last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not asked me for my phone number. And I know that wanting him to be a giving, you know, competitive, conquering man, I need to wait for him to ask for it, or is it okay for me to say in a text, you know, I've enjoyed having this connection with you through the text messages. However, you know, I would not feel comfortable relating like this for very long. You can let me know if you want my phone number.
Who texted whom last?
He texted me today wanting to know if I was free on the weekend for a movie.
Good. Good.
Yeah, so do I address this when I see him?
Because now he's seeing you in person.
I saw him last weekend. We had a date last weekend. We went to lunch, and he did not ask me for my phone number. He's communicating through these text messages.
That's it. So, would you follow his lead? Would you please do it his way?
Okay, and just wait for him to
Don't start leading.
Right. Okay. Just follow his lead.
Do it his way for now.
Okay, and I just wanted to ask, because I'm 65, he's 61.
Did you say 5'1"?
T61.
And you are?
65.
65. Okay. That's just the amount of times you've been around the sun. So what?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, because people, I've met other men 60 to 70, and I know the philosophy was to let them pay, but I know that, you know, we're approaching, or sometimes I meet somebody that's already retired. Does that,
that's not your concern. That's not your concern unless they, no, you don't start offering things. Has he offered, when he asked you on a date, has he asked you to share with him?
No, he paid for the lunch. I did say I offered to pay the tip. He said, no, no, I asked you out. I'm paying.
Okay, well, that was very nice of you to do that. Now, since then, you can, if he, and then what, the next thing is a movie, right?
Right.
So go to the movie, and another time, if you want to do a give back, then you can offer to do that. Say, since you've been so nice to offer me these nice dates, I would like to offer you a meal. I don't know, you haven't gone to each other's places yet, but you're certainly welcome to do a give back.
Okay, so 2 to 1?
It goes about 2 to 1. He's taken you out a couple of times. He will have taken you out a couple of times. It's okay to ask him if he wants to, if you could invite him. Would he be willing to accept an invitation from you?
Okay. And I also have a trouble with veering away from talking about my job, because I know that's not, you know, Dr. Pat says, you know, to keep it, keep in my feminine and not to talk shop. And
if he asks you something specific, if he inquires, if he doesn't know what else to say, he might ask you about your work situation, but just talk about it minimally. Just give him the short version.
Right. Okay. And
give him the abridged version of what you've been up to if he asks, but don't talk about it unless he asks.
Okay. I understand. And, I also had this problem last year, Dr. Pat, because I am curious about a person's, you know, maybe last marriage. And so I don't ask questions. I sort of wait. What he shares, then I share. If he talks about a family member, I talk about a family member.
You don't need to. It doesn't need to be tip for tat. Wait till he asks you.
Right. Don't. And if he doesn't ask me any personal
keep
questions,
the mystery. Keep some mystery about you. Men, like, they are attracted to a woman who has some mystery. Don't offer so much unless asked. Okay.
Right.
We want to keep the feminine mystique. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to proceed with the tools.
Wonderful. I'm happy to hear they're practicing and using the tools. And thank you for calling us and asking to make sure that you're on track. And we so appreciate to hear back from people when they are practicing the tools and asking for guidance.
Yes, I read both books, and I've been listening to the podcast for years, probably 15 years I've been listening to Dr. Pat.
Wonderful.
So I finally have something to apply it to.
I'm happy to hear it, and congratulations so far. And we'll see where this one goes. Keep in touch.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So nice to hear these people calling back to give us the feedback on what's going on.
And to stay on track. And that's how, Sue, your groups are doing great, and Dr. Pat's groups. And it helps people when they're in a group, a women's group like that. It helps them stay on track with their communication.
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, I have just a simple question. It's about EMDR. I wanted to ask, I think Dr. Pat did mention a place. to go. So I wanted to ask for a referral.
Well, they have a website, EMDR.com. And what is your specific issue that you're seeking EMDR?
Well, you know, I call in a lot. Well, it's my triggers. I get triggered by certain things in the relationship.
What are your triggers? What do you trigger? What does it trigger?
Well, it's just, I don't want to get specific, but I don't want to...
Something they do triggers anxiety?
Yeah, it'll trigger anxiety. And then I'm more, because of like my past of
so
my family.
You believe inappropriately?
Sometimes, or just my thinking is off, and it's not even really, you know, it's like a post-traumatic stress.
I understand it well. You might consider doing a life script with me or Dr. Pat. And another thing is, there's another form for if you've had abuse or trauma. I deal with a lot of trauma people. Yes. And their dream work is very powerful for trauma work and helping people understand what their triggers are. And you can key into that. And there's also another form of brain spotting. Brain spotting is a newer form of PTSD trauma work. And they have great results also. And so you can look that up and find practitioner near me. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
Okay, so you just go on their sites, whether it be EMDR or ENDR.com or brainspotting.com, and you can find practitioner near me in those once you get onto their sites. Brain spotting, you have your notes with you. We always encourage people to keep a notepad when they call in, so we give nice a little bit of information here and there that could be crucial to your personal growth. So besides the EMDR, there's brain spotting, and the dream work is very powerful as well.
Okay, well, I will do that, and also probably, I don't know if right now, you know, this month, but I would like to do a script that is on my
work
bucket list.
Very powerful work. Very
powerful. All right. Well, that's good. I will look into that and keep in contact, because I keep tripping up on the same issues, and I don't want these issues keep on my part.
If you have these issues that are unresolved issues, you'll just keep moving through people and you'll just change the faces, but you're going to be getting the same results.
Yes, I agree. So that's why I want to work on it.
What we want to do is clean up the past so that you can have a better future. And anyway, all of this work is very powerful.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I will
keep in touch with us.
Space. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, caller.
So I should have told her also, she can contact me or the WAN Institute. And my website is thedreamclass.com.
And if she contacts me, she calls regularly. I hear her on the radio. I'll be sure to forward her your phone number and your contact. So I do have some questions if we have no callers. Let me see here.
Hi.
Oh, we have a caller. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi, Patricia. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How's it going there?
it's rolling. Okay. So I had a question. I don't know if we touched this last week, but I have a party coming up, and I have a friend, a crush that's going to be there. And he's really excited to meet my dad. And I'm excited for that interaction. But my mom and my dad have never been married, so it might be a little awkward. I guess my dating question is, there's also, okay, let me fast forward to the dating question. The dating question is, I'm sure there's going to be guys there that think they have a chance, right? So how do I go about making the one guy feel comfortable and like I'm not giving the other guy's attention?
Hey, I don't want you to make the guys feel comfortable.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. You hate when I do that. I forgot.
It's not their comfort level we're concerned with. We want to... Okay. Just respect their thinking,
Okay.
But
I'm just so nervous. I don't even know what to think.
You don't think anything. I don't want you to think. I don't want you to think. I don't want you to think. I want you to feel your nerves. If you feel nerves, feel them and just show up and feeling nervous. That's an honest feeling. That's a feminine trait is feeling your feelings. You don't want to block your feelings. You want to go. You don't want to go up in your head and try to analyze your feelings. Right now, just feel your feelings and say, "Ooh," recognize them. Say, "Ooh, I'm feeling a little anxious about this," and be okay with that.
Yeah. Isn't it that guys like the chase though? So it's better if they all chase you and the best man wins.
Exactly.
Ooh, I don't know. That's
absolutely.
So
no, I don't care. I want you. You can feel uncomfortable, but that's what it's like. That's the real deal. The best man wins. It's like the Olympics. May the best
competition. Men like the competition on who wins. Compete, control, and conquer.
May the best man win.
All right.
You're the prize. You have to view yourself as the prize.
Okay.
And you are seeing how they what they do to win you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be doing anything other than thinking, not thinking, but feeling do you feel best with.
Okay. And then I have one more question, but it relates to a dream I had. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I recently got out of a relationship where he wasn't always very faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I never dream about him, but last night I had a dream that he was just always around me with that other girl he was with. And I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I don't care that we're not together. I'm okay with us not being together. But I don't want to dream about that. I felt like that same heartbreak and betrayal. Like,
well, dream is about him, and dreams come to us in terms of symbols. So when you're dreaming about that, it's really about the feeling you had, and the feeling you had was anxious. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Tell me about the feeling you had in the dream.
Like anxious, like embarrassed, sad, you know. But I felt everything I felt when I felt like, you know, like, I guess why I wasn't good enough to be faithful to in the first place. But I just thought
An analysis. That's a head trip. But the first words were feeling-centered words, which are feminine. Feeling-centered words, feelings are feminine. And so where we're in touch with our feelings, we are operating out of our feminine. And that's where you want to be right now. But this dream probably is relating, because you had a feeling of anxiety in this dream. You're really, I like to connect the dots from your dream world, which is your subconscious, by the way, to your waking life. And now you're telling us about a situation in waking life that's giving you anxious feelings. So these anxious feelings that you're having in waking life are triggering you. You're to have this dream where you have PTSD of anxiety, but it's not really about that anymore. It's just about the anxious feeling you're experiencing now from the current event.
Okay, I can see that. Okay.
So be okay with feeling anxious, and then handle your anxious feelings by exercise, meditation. What else do you do that can help your anxiety? What do you do?
I drive.
Okay, a girl on the road. That's okay. If that it calms you, go for it, Tiger Lily.
Okay. Whew. Well, thank you, Patricia. I appreciate your words of wisdom.
Thank you.
I'm working on being being more feminine, so thank you.
Feeling your feelings.
All right. You guys have a nice day.
Thanks. just to go over that, you know, I want to just do recap, you know, like she's worried about, she likes the guy and she wants to make sure he's comfortable. It's always the men like the chase. When they know one guy wants, then it's like a competition. He needs to step up. So we are the prize. A good comeback is we are the prize, and we have to have the men step up and chase us. That puts them more in their masculine, compete, control, and conquer.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I thought she was off. I thought we were just recapping on the show.
Letting
it go. So I know she can come on, but that's important. A lot of women want to take care of the men. And, oh, you know, I don't want him to see me with another man. You know, well, he needs to know that you're worthy of having numerous men. And if he wants you, he has to step up and get his masculine energy up and compete, control, conquer you to because make you his prize.
Because you are desirable. We have to view ourselves as desirable.
Yes. I have a quick question if we don't have any callers here. Let me pull it up here. Okay, well, I have a question. After you give a guy your phone number, how long does it usually take for them to reach out?
Say that one again, if there are no what?
After you give a guy your phone number, how long does it usually take for them to reach out? Obviously, this lady's in her masculine.
Hello, all you ladies out there, hear this one. It can take up to eight weeks. And I'm going to tell you, it can happen in the 11th hour of the eighth week. They are ruminating. Are you worth it? While they're out there, everybody's on the dating sites and they're seeing other women, and they have your number, and they're also testing you to see if you are going to chase. And when you are not chasing because you are making yourself available to other men, they think about you. And they will call you eventually. And if they don't call you within eight weeks, it wasn't your guy.
Yes, true. That's very true. I have a lady that's waiting on for the gentleman. I think I questioned it before. He's friends with another ex-lover, and she put her boundaries up saying that's not going to work. And it's been 18 days, and she can reach out and wish him the ritual, you know, happy Valentine's Day, but she's mad because he's not honoring her feelings. And, you know, it's one of these, well, he should know how I feel and honor my feelings. So I told her she can reach out at a happy Valentine's Day or wait the 8 weeks. What are your thoughts on reaching out as the happy Valentine's Day to open the door for him
and to show that you're not mad?
Yes, not mad.
You demonstrate that you're pissed, you are showing a side of you that they don't want to know, trust me. So you're better off faking it till you make it and send a nice Valentine card. Fine.
Yeah, I said just reach out and wish him a happy Valentine.
Yeah, a Valentine note, a Valentine text. Fine.
Yeah, just a you know, it's kind of like just to drop the hanky to get him to know that you're still there
and not pissed. And not pissed, like you could care less, because as far as they can know, you have other people pounding your door down.
Yes. Yeah.
Good question. Good question.
Let's see. Okay, I have another one since we don't have any callers, which we maybe interrupt. Okay, sometimes I get this from a lot of ladies. Men want to be exclusive after the second date. How can the ladies, when they're not ready, what can they say to the men because they're not ready to be exclusive and they're kind of stuck?
The women nowadays are afraid to commit. When a guy can know after within 5 dates, and this you're saying 2 dates, that he likes you and he wants to be with you, at least try it out. So you say, I so appreciate your interest in me. And I'm feeling like I like you. However, I'm most comfortable getting to know you a little bit better. And so I'd love to see you again.
Perfect. That's what I suggested too. Oh, we have another caller. You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, this is Joan, and I have been emailing Patricia. I'm going to have a meeting with her next week, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay.
But I have worked. I went to Pat Allen's classes and things. So my question tonight is, I'm kind of anxious, like with some family PTSD as well.
Mm-hmm.
The story is, I've got two things going on here at the same time, which I have a mom who's 99 and she's pretty healthy, but all of my siblings, there's five of us, we take turns being with her and taking care of her in Florida. Mm-hmm. I have one sister who lives there full time, and so she gets the brunt of taking care of her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that sister gets a little upset if, you know, we can't come down and help. Well, it's a beautiful part of Florida, and I took my girls down to Orlando this week to Harry Potter World for some fun. and I told my mom we were going, but there wouldn't be time to go see her because it was too far away from her home. She lives in another city in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we were only there for like 2.5 days. So mm-hmm. my sister this morning texted me and said, well, last night when we landed, she says, well, you didn't call mom to say that you were having a good time at Harry Potter World, you know, and then this morning that same sister texted me and said, and you really hurt my feelings. And I don't know, you know, I said, why? And I just wrote her back, why, with question mark.
No,
why did I hurt your feelings?
No, don't ask people why. No, that's you're getting yourself deeper. You took the bait.
Mm-mm. I took the bait because I heard you tell that to a woman earlier tonight.
Yeah, don't take the bait. They're wanting to get into a game with you and drag you into their game.
Well, that's how she's been on my entire life.
Okay, so it's your job to not take the bait.
Okay, okay. So tomorrow I fly back there to have a little vacation myself. I'm getting for Valentine's for me, right? And then there's this fellow that owns a bar, and we've been sort of trying to date, and I'm just exploring that, you know.
Good.
So he performs, and I go watch him at the bar, and blah blah blah. So I'm headed down to have a nice weekend just with myself at the beach, and then I was going to pop over to his bar tomorrow night and just say hi. He knows I'm coming, blah blah blah. I'll tell you more about that, Pat, for Patricia, next week. But I'm afraid I'm going to run into my sister because it's in the town where she lives, and she's going to say, you're sneaking around. What, she does that to me all the time. Like, you lie. You didn't tell us you were here. Like, why didn't you? And I'm afraid I'm going to see her like out on the street or while I'm trying to take care of myself because I own a business and I'm really busy.
Right. So you don't have that energy around you when you're trying to be in your feminine, when you're exposing yourself to a man you like, then you have to say something up front. And there's also something called a lie for love. So,
okay,
you know, that's also known as a white lie. So where do you think you'll be seeing him?
Well, I'm not worried about seeing him. I'm worried about seeing her.
I know,
I'm worried
but does
about
she hang out in the same venues where you will be, is my question.
She might be down in the downtown area and see me, you know, go in to, you know, and I mean, she'll see like, well, why didn't you tell us you were coming? And I think, you know, I do think she does try to sabotage when I'm dating somebody.
Well,
that happened
of course
with another
she
guy.
Is. I'm sure she's jealous of you or envious, even worse. So what will make you feel most comfortable? Because if you have anxious energy around you, you will not shine your best.
I won't be myself. Right.
You be yourself. You'll be looking over your shoulder like you've got an assassin after you.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of know what to do. I won't go to the restaurants to eat. I know how to eat in my hotel room and get some food and like just pop down to the bar. And I know she won't be, I know she wouldn't be there at like 8:30 when I would go.
At that place. What would happen if you told her you were going to come for a short visit or that it's you're there on a medical leave or something? What?
I was debating that, but then she'd say, well, then you need to come take care of mom. You need to do this. You need to take her to the dentist. Because every time I tell her, I think I'm going to be there. Oh, then here's the things I have lined up for you to do.
You get a litany. You get a list. Okay.
I get a litany of list of what to do. Yeah, well, when I spend all this money to go down there and then I don't have any time for myself, which I love my mom.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
No, I don't care about that. We care about keeping you in your best light for meeting a man right now. This
mm-hmm,
is your focus.
Exactly.
You want to stay on point, stay focused on what your whole point is to being there, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. do it in a way where you don't have to feel like you'd have looking over your shoulder. And how,
right.
tell me how you're going to go about that so that we can relieve this anxiety.
Okay. So what I would do is if I run into her, I would say, yep, I'm here. I'm here for Saturday and I'm leaving Sunday and I'm having a me weekend. I'm having a Valentine's weekend for myself and I'm going to go out down to the venues, the music venues, and pop in and say hi to my friends. And I'm flying out Sunday. I'll try to stop by Ma's, but I can't promise I will because I'm here because that guy might ask me out on Sunday. So I want to kind of leave it open,
right.
you know?
Okay.
Because what he said to me early is like, you're just a daughter. You just keep running home to your mom. That's, I'll tell you that next week. But
yeah,
I mean, I remember Pat saying, do you want to be a daughter or do you want to be a maid?
That's
and
exactly
I'm 64.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to do for you what's best for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just going to tell her I'm here for me. And, you know, and then she says, well, you sneak around on us. You lie. You're sneaking. You're always sneaking behind our back.
I appreciate your perception. That's not how I feel.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for that script. I will write that down and practice it.
Okay.
All right.
Just
I really
don't get in a fight with somebody like that. Just diffuse it.
Just diffuse it. Just ignore it. Just don't engage.
This woman, just diffuse it. Oh, I appreciate your perception.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make them wrong. Make them right, even if they're wrong, and just diffuse it.
Okay. 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 Thanks. I'll re-listen to this tonight then. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Bye.
Bye.
I just want to remind everybody, Dr. Pat Allen still does ladies groups. She has monthly ongoing ladies groups. If you want to call the office to be on the wait list, the number is 949-723-0338 or our email is info@drpatallen.com. And then Patricia does the life scripts and she's very good at dream interpretation, and she does the one-on-one as well, and I also do one-on-one sessions as well. So between the radio show, Dr. Allen, myself, and Patricia, you can have all your questions answered.
And I talk with men. Men call me.
Oh, yes.
Don't be afraid to call me, men.
Yes. Patricia is trying to start up a men's group. So until we get one started, please feel free to call in. Patricia does 15-minute, half-hour, or one-hour sessions. So even if you men, if you have a quick question, she's the one to go to. What is your contact, your phone number, if they'd like to contact
you? They can
you?
Email me. My website is thedreamclass.com. My email is patricia@patriciaeltinge.com or patricia@thedreamclass.com. And my office number is 310-528-0515.
Yeah, and if you miss any of that, you can always call Dr. Pat Allen's office, or I'd be glad to, I'll refer you to Patricia as well if you do not get any of the contact information. Let's see. Oh, I have a quick question. When ladies do weight training, is that considered masculine or feminine?
If they enjoy it, it's feminine. If it makes them feel good, it's feminine. If they're doing it because they are bodybuilding and they're doing it, that's masculine because they're doing it for a purpose rather than to feel good. If you're doing it as a goal-oriented reason, it's masculine. If you're doing it because you feel good when or after you do it, that's feminine.
What about like you're going to the gym to try and meet guys at the gym? So, you know, you're starting.
Yay. Hey. Wherever there are men.
Okay. So just don't compete that you can lift more weights. Don't try to compete with them. Yeah. Be the softer one, the
Yes.
The one that has to rescue and help set the weights up.
Very good. Very good. And other places where if women want to meet men, not only on the dating sites, some women aren't comfortable going on the dating sites. And I tell them, go where men go to have fun. Men are go take golf lessons on.
Yes, the golf. Yeah.
Golfing is great. Hiking meetups.
Yes.
Walking meetups. There's all kinds of meetups for outdoor activities and music appreciation, paddle boarding, lots of groups that meetups and people meet each other through sports, skiing, paddle boarding, all kinds of outdoor activities. You can meet people.
Yeah, there's that group meetups and you go into your geographical area and find your interests, and they have singles groups where singles get together. There's other ways. A lot of ladies don't like to do this online dating. So I offer them that. And let me just ask you, if you're not doing online dating and you're just trying to do the organic way where you'll meet up, suddenly a guy will pop up, doing Dr. Allen's work, is it, you know, just reading the book, or do you have to actually, like Dr. Allen talks about the duty dating, it's the experience to process the work. What's your thoughts on just letting things go? You don't want to date, you don't want to try and find men, you just want it to happen organically, but you think you know how to be masculine and feminine just by book work.
Well, masculine and feminine energy becomes innate. So when you're in your feeling centeredness, pardon me, when you feel good, you will exude feminine energy. So it comes from how you feel first. You can sort of fake being feminine by dressing in a feminine way. One of Pat's books she worked on with a collaborator, with Don Schmenke, was The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, But First It Will Piss You Off. There's a lot of interesting stuff in this book on what attracts men and what to women. So I suggest you look at that book, number one, and get into a headspace, out of your headspace and into your body feeling centeredness. Because let's say you do work out at the gym and you feel good, you've sweated, you're tired now, all the heebie-jeebies are out of you worked it out, went to a class or a dance class or something, you're feeling good and happy. When you're in that kind of a mode, you will seem attractive. Even if you don't have your makeup on and your hair isn't done, you will exude feminine energy if you are in a feel-good place within yourself.
True. Yeah. It's like when you have a boyfriend, or suddenly all the guys want you because you're in a good state of mind and you feel good about
yourself.
You're
in a good state of feeling centeredness, not just mind. It's about how you feel. You exude something that is magical. It's the feminine mystique of attractiveness. Attractiveness is because...
Tell me your interpretation of feminine mystique.
Okay. Well, keeping some mystique about us, there's a wonderful little book that Dr. Pat Allen always recommended, Advice to a Young Wife from an Old Mistress by Michael Drury. And it's an old book. It's probably out of print, but it's a wonderful little book. And also... The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, But First It Will Piss You Off. But the feminine mystique is not talking. A lot of women nowadays think they have to lead the conversation and perform. And performance is masculine. When we are patient, passive, and receptive, we are in our feminine. When we are saying nothing, they are wondering what is going on inside that person. It is inviting. Believe it or not, ladies, you don't have to. I assure you, when you think you're the life of the party or you're the big jokester, men aren't attracted to Joan Rivers. That's not who they're looking for, another Joan Rivers. They're looking for a muse. A muse is someone who compliments them, and they love someone who they can try to pry open. We don't want to show them all we've got. We want them to feel that we want them to need, they need to pry us open a little bit at a time. That's the feminine mystique. Don't give it all out at once. Don't tell all the jokes you know. Don't show every dance move you've ever learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what about the ladies that, you know, they're kind of given up, and, you know, you can tell by their energy that they don't care either way. I have some ladies in my groups that sit there and listen, and it's like, well, whatever. I'm not going to try and this and that. What are your thoughts on things, you know, having them be, what are your thoughts on them finding a good man when they don't put any energy in?
Well, it's like anything else. But it's sometimes it's not what you do, it's what you don't do.
Don't do. Okay.
So we want to just come, keep coming to group. I suggest people keep watching how the other people are progressing and how they are winning and how their lives are transforming. And it will encourage you maybe to want, maybe I'm going to try a little of that. People grow at different rates. So when someone is progressing in a women's group, it encourages the other ladies to say, oh, okay, I'll try that too. That didn't seem so scary. I'll try that too. But if you come to a place in your life where you go, don't give a damn, well, that's sad. You're just going to tell your what you're doing is triggering your body on a spiritual level even to go into entropy, which is to go towards death. So to have a joy for life, a joie de vivre, you will more will be attracted to you. Yes. You will become a magnet if you have a joy for life.
Yes. And you have a positive outlook.
Positive outlook for each day. Have a meditation each day. What can I do to this day to bring forth everything for me that will fulfill me? You can ask the universe before you go to sleep. Write it on your dream journal next to your bed and let your subconscious work for you. Say it in your dream journal, what can I be doing or not doing to bring love to my life?
Yes. There's just one correction on that book about the truth about men will set you free. They revised it. It's called The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, The New Science of Love and Dating. They had updated it quite a few years ago.
If you find a used copy,
it's the same book, but they changed
the
title.
Same book, so it will be in two titles.
On Amazon, it's The New Science of Love and Dating, if you're looking for that book. We have a caller on the air.
Good.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
I'm here.
Hi there. Oh, thank you. Okay, so I'm married, and I have a covenant relationship. So I have the traditional role where my husband makes the money and I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And I have a 15-year-old son, and I'm struggling with am I supposed to have him be cherishing me or respecting me, or how is that supposed to work?
Who, your son or your husband?
Yes, my son. No, my son. I'm cherished by my husband, though I was recently reading that book, Staying Married and Loving It.
Mm-hmm.
And I read in there how we're supposed to have our sons be cherishing of us too. And I'm just not sure how to get,
especially after the first comes in order to receive that is that you respect your son's thinking, ideas, productivity, anything you need to demonstrate to him that you respect him as a man, because in many cultures, in ancient cultures and current cultures, a man is a man by 13.
Mm.
So you respect a man and show him what his father has demonstrated as a role model, from what you're saying, a good role model of what a man is and how he cherishes you. So, but it's your turn to cherish, respect your son the way you respect your husband, with boundaries. You still have your personal boundaries and bound rules of the house, you know, but you have to start respecting your son.
Okay, so like in terms of getting him to flush the toilet and brush his teeth and like all the basic,
that's not your business. Teeth, you can send emails or notes to people about toothbrushing, but don't give him orders. You've already raised him. He'll find out the hard way. No one's going to want to kiss him.
Exactly. And with this acne on his face, where I've given him every resource to not have that, and he won't do it.
You just say, first of all, you ask him, you talk to him the way you talk to your husband. I have some ideas about your acne. If you want to explore that, do you want me to pass that on to you? Then it's his choice. Okay. He does not want to be bombarded with crap from you.
Right.
Him by saying, I have some information. I have some information that may be interesting to you about that. Do you want me to forward that to you? It's his choice then. Then you've given him the choice if he wants it. Give me another for instance.
Okay, another for instance is he doesn't flush the toilet after he uses it.
Does he have his own bathroom?
Well, see, that's just the thing, is that that's what he said to me. Well, why do you come into my bathroom? And I was like, excuse me, do you pay rent? Are you on a mortgage?
That's not how you respect a person. He's testing you to see if you're going to respect him. Don't go into his bathroom. Have you given him his own bathroom?
Yeah, but I mean, my house cleaner is horrified because...
Well, then you have the house cleaner do it. Then you have the house cleaner talk to him. Does she speak English?
Yes.
Then you have the house cleaner approach him, and that's her. Then that's her going in with him, not you.
Okay. Because I did say the other day, well, you have every right not to flush the toilet.
Okay.
However, it's really disgusting, and
but you don't need to be going in his bathroom. Now we're talking about space. He has a personal space that you have invaded, and that's how he's testing you. He is marking his territory, dear.
Okay. Well, he also, when my mom comes, he has to share that bathroom.
Well, then you say, I have something sensitive to talk with you about when grandma is coming, or whatever you call her. Since this is a good time, you ask him if he wants to hear a sensitive subject. He says yes now. Then you say, since grandma's coming, would you be willing to flush the toilets, since she'll be sharing that bathroom with you? Would you be willing to keep the toilet flushed and the toilet seat down while she's here?
Okay, I can do that.
You have to start, I want you to start respecting him the way you speak with him, even if he's doing gross things.
I will. I mean, believe me, I've navigated this with my husband on several different, I find disgusting, but. Okay, so the other thing is the way that he just leaves his clothes all over the floor and his drawers open.
Can you ask him to, if you'd, I appreciate that you keep your room the way you do. How I understand that you, I see that you keep your room in a certain way. You don't have to make a value judgment on it, but you just say, since you do, and unless you're willing to clean it, would you mind keeping your door closed so we don't have to look at it?
Okay. Okay.
That's his thing. He is testing you guys. He's testing you and he's laying territory. He's being a man.
Okay. Okay. And then the one last thing is we're teaching him that the man pays for the woman because that's just our way. Mm-hmm. And he says, why do I have to pay for some girl? Why can't she pay for herself? And I just say, well, that's because that's the kind of man that you are, or something. I mean, I need a better.
Well, you say, well, that's the way we think you'll get a better girl. You'll get a better girl that way. But if you want, you have every right, keeping him in the male position. You have every right, and don't make him wrong when he's right. Even if he's wrong, say, oh, you have a right to want a woman to pay for you, share with you. And that way she will view you as a friend, not a boyfriend.
Okay.
So if that's what you want, if you want girl friends, that's the way to do it.
Okay. Perfect. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. You've been so helpful.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling and call again.
I will. Thank you. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, caller. That was a good call about, you know, raising kids. Isn't it, Pat says, after a certain age, you have to start talking to them like they're adults?
After 10.
Yeah, for a boy. 10. Yeah. Especially mothers to their sons, because otherwise they're over mothering, and then the man, they test you, push your buttons.
Well, they will, if you keep on their case all the time, they will stay to hate women, and they're going to, what you're going to do is produce another woman hater. So we don't want that. We want to encourage them to be a woman.
How do ladies become man haters? That's a good one. See that if you identify with this. That might be for a lot of lady callers.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I advise every woman to get off of these email chains that are man hating emails, that are man bashing emails. Don't continue promoting it and forwarding these emails and Facebook things that are male bashing. It's not good for your own psyche, and it's not going to be good for you attracting a man if you keep imprinting that men are bad.
Yes. So
let's not keep perpetuating negativity about men. There's another group out there in the world now that is woman hating. It's called Men Going Their Own Way, and it's a Facebook and online groups of men going their own way, wanting to live without women, because women have become so masculine and so pushy and so ball busting that a lot of them are just throwing in the towel and saying, screw it.
Yes, I could see that. I see a lot of the Facebook groups and I follow them, and it's like really sad that they, you know, they don't want men to be men. They want them to it's almost like they have to follow the format that they believe men should be, which is not their own individuals.
They're psychically castrating them.
Yes.
Want them to be a man, but behave like a woman and do. There was an old sci-fi movie from 100 years, many years ago, that was called the Cat Women of the Moon, some really cheap B movie, sci-fi movie, and they didn't need men anymore, but then they were dying out, and they decided that they needed a couple of men just so they could procreate. But we don't want to create that kind of society where there's no men, please.
Yes. Yes, that is true. It is 10 after 5, so we will start taking dream questions. If you have dreams, Patricia will do dream interpretation. I do want to give our call out number. It's 323-203-0815. And if you want to check out Dr. Pat Allen's website, it's www.drpatallen.com. She does have some information on there. She has a streaming class of chemistry compatibility and communication. And we will be sending out a newsletter on January 13th with all the One Institute update on Dr. Allen's website. You can sign up for the newsletter and you can hear all about the stuff that Dr. Allen and the One Institute has going on. And we do have some stuff about Patricia and her dream classes as well. So sign up for our newsletter on www.drpatallen.com. We have a caller here. You're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great.
Okay, so this is a recent dream, and it's about my former my first boyfriend when I was 17. And I'm inside his parents' house. I'm like inside the library, and I get this feeling that she, the mother that I had a really good relationship with, that she wasn't there, but I'm inside her house, and I'm not with the boyfriend either, but I'm there, and I'm like, I have my luggage is in there, and I'm afraid that I've gone in there and I've stayed in there without her knowing, and she's going to be coming back soon. And I'm afraid that she's going to be unhappy with me. And I'm like, where in the heck is the boyfriend at the time? I was like, where is this person? And why am I in this house without her knowing? And why is she going to be upset with me? But I had that feeling that she was going to be angry. So I was trying to get all of my stuff together before she got home. And I could feel like the car was in the driveway. Maybe there was this very like this suspense of me having to get everything together. And all my stuff was just strewn about, like I'd been living there for a long time. And she didn't know.
Okay. So, what's her character type, even though she didn't actually show up in the dream? Give me her character type in a nutshell.
She is the strong mother woman, and she was like a role model mentor for me, and she was very wealthy. And I mean, don't get married until you're 30 so you can be fully developed.
And he wasn't there in the dream. It was just his mother's house, right?
It's his mom and his dad's house together. Yeah, like it was
basically like, this dream is about the side of you that is the masculine side of you, which is the way you think. You said you were mentored by her in a way too. So it's something in your head that this dream is after you to clean up your mess and gather your stuff. Why? What's going on? I like to correlate the dream world with your waking life. So what's going on in your waking life where you know in the back of your mind that you've got to clean up your mess and get out of Dodge? What is going on that you need to clean up?
Well, I mean, the first thing that just comes to mind is my living will and like my estate situation.
It's not in order.
It's not in order. No, there's a lot of things that I want, that I need. There's a lot of details that I need to bring together in case something happens.
It's unfinished business, and it's something to do with the masculine side of you, which is business. And this is finances are your thinking, your finances, your productivity, things you need to do, as all comes from the head. And right now it's a mess and you haven't cleaned it up. And so you, the back of your mind is getting on your case to clean it up.
that's what that pressure of like, hurry up, hurry up. Like,
hurry up get the mess in order. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What a crazy thing.
This is why the dream work is so direct. It's a direct line. It's a backdoor entrance and a direct line from your subconscious mind to the conscious mind. We can progress so much more quickly when we start understanding what's going on in our subconscious. It's really coming from the depths of our unconscious, bubbling up through our subconscious and coming forth to our conscious mind by only if we understand the dream. So this is the dream. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiting two more months, I'm telling you now, get on it.
Yes, thank you. So the mother represents the masculine side of me.
Yes,
telling me masculine. Hurry up and get this.
Yes. That's get something done. She was mentored you. You said she had sound advice. Yep. Wait till this. So here's the sound advice part of coming from your head, from your thinking. It's
the details.
The details. Get things in order.
I'm writing this down. Okay. And then the way that I felt that she was going to be mad at me, if she
you
saw me
were
like
going
this,
to be mad at you. You will be mad at you if you don't get this accomplished.
Yeah.
She represents an aspect of you.
Oh, interesting, which probably affects my self-esteem.
There you go. Get on.
Okay. Cool. Get on it, girlfriend. I got the message loud and clear. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you. Great work.
All right. I'll call back again.
Call us back with another dream. Thank you for calling.
I will. Okay, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always good to hear about the dreams, how they correlate with what's going on.
And, oh, yes. There are I say it's we're connecting. I'm helping you. I'm not a soothsayer per se.
Yeah.
With wearing a turban and a crystal ball. I'm just pulling it out of you because you're revealing to me your symbols that are in your own subconscious, and I'm reflecting back to you what you really know.
Yeah. Oh, we have another caller. You're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay,
Hi. So the first thing I remember in the dream is that, like, a guy came up to me, and all of a sudden I was, like, surrounded by, like, these beautiful, like, brown cows, like, baby cows, mama cows, just these beautiful, like, brown, like, just gorgeous face. You know how cows just are really kind of precious? So just surrounded by these cows, and it must have been the guy's cows who, like, came up to me. But he led us into his house, and the scene kind of changed to his living room.
Then us, who's with you?
Oh, no, just me and the cows.
Okay, he led you and the cows into the house?
Yeah, but I don't think the cows came inside. It was just kind of, I remember, like, oh, we're just walking towards the house.
You and he were walking towards the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the scene kind of changed to his living room, where he was a teacher in this, like, private school. And there were other kids, like, all boys, funny enough. It was, like, an all-boys classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing us how to, I think, like, prepare. It looked like a big kennel, but I think it was, like, for the cows. It was, like, a little cow cage or a big
like
doggy
a cow
kennel.
Barn, like a cow barn?
Yeah, just kind of, like, little compartments in this little area for, it looked like a kennel, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
okay,
I have a
kennel for cows. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And a test, like to test out the kennel. And I don't know how that related to music, but, like, he was also a music teacher. Mm-hmm. And then he was explaining something, like a demonstration, but he had to, like, put the demonstration on hold because a parent was picking up, like, one of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I kind of remember, like, feeling like, darn, I was really intrigued by the demonstration. I didn't want it to be over. And it kind of was like he had to stop because it was a little taboo, so he didn't want to do it, like, in front of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least just not, like, as accepted or, you know, something.
He didn't want to do it. He wasn't comfortable doing it as freely, as openly.
Yeah, exactly.
And the boys were waiting to have this demonstration?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so we were waiting, and then my ex now partner came to me in a dream, and he said,
in the same dream.
Yeah, in the same dream. And then he looked at me with, like, this, like, smile, and he says, "You look different."
Yeah. Yeah, you do look different. You know why? I don't know. Are you taking any classes or anything? Because you're in a learning situation here. But the cows, huh? You are.
Yeah, I'm in Sue's class.
You're in a women's group. Okay. Well, let me tell you. Are you done with the dream? Is that the end of the dream?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Well, cows. First of all, when you're in a cows, like a lot of cows there. Cows are. And a large animal when things are large, but they're little baby ones too, right?
Yeah.
So cows are kind of an androgynous creature. They produce milk, they produce things for us, but they're also very docile. And then when you have baby want things in a dream, that represents an emerging. So this is kind of like a situation where you have an emerging androgynous side of you. And because when there are baby things or little things in a dream, that means there's an emerging thoughts and or feelings. And so you even go into this classroom situation where you were and where there are predominantly males in this kid, but they actually represent your feminine side. So somehow you're learning, you're in a situation in a learning venue about your feminine, because that's your feminine side being open to learning. And then there's the demonstration. Now somebody shows and the teacher was a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same person who led you into the classroom?
I am like 90% sure.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a male figure nevertheless. And that's the teach. So you're learning from your head, you're learning to accept from your feminine, you're open and to this feminine venue of learning, yet who shows up that puts a damper on things? Somebody's parent?
A parent, yeah.
Male or female?
I don't remember that part.
Okay. Well, still, that's a parent figure that is relating to your script. So your scripted side is still always going to, until we uncover what that is going to want to drag you back to the old ways. But while you're learning something new in an open way, and there's still this little element of something trying to put a damper on that. And that's our script, our script from our parents, the programs that have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, from our parents, our schools, our churches, the media. So that's what that represents. The parent figure represents something that's that's a piece in you that still hears the old scripts, the old tapes, the old programs.
Yeah.
While you're being open, you're still got something there that's holding you back from hearing the full message or accepting the full message and flourishing in the full message.
And then what do you think it was that he came and said, "You look different"?
You know why? Because he represents, give me his quick character type in a nutshell.
He's a pretty masculine guy, but he's also very sensitive and has a nice feminine side.
Nevertheless, he represents the feeling-centered side of you, and you are definitely on a feeling level, feeling different than before. You are accepting some new way of behaviors, attitudes, ways of doing, ways of thinking about how you go about life. So that piece of you, he represents an aspect of yourself that is accepting that you feel different.
Okay. There was there's a consistent theme of time limits, tests. It's very interesting. And then this one time, he was actually helping me, and he was laying down and trying to help me answer the questions. And he pulled out, there was something bothering him, and he pulled out a book. He was lying on a book, and he's like, oh, that's better. I thought that was so interesting. He was lying down, and I didn't see a book underneath him, but he pulled out the book, and then he was like, oh, that's better. And then he went back.
Why? Because that's you. That's your feeling-centered side, having something to rely on in order to keep you on track. In order to keep you on track with your feminine learning, you know that there is a system behind it all.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really trying to understand what my subconscious is trying to tell me here, because there's a lot of moving parts in my life right now.
Well, you are doing it, and you are not only doing it, you are on a feeling level. You are embodying it on a visceral level now, is what it tells me.
Yeah.
Viscerally, you are accepting a new way for you, which will, for your personal growth and transformation, there will be a new you, and you're recognizing it. You're recognizing it from the inside out.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It is good.
Yes, that's very good. It's good news. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, caller. Call us back each week so we can pull out these dreams.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't give any names, but yeah, she's one of my girls in my ladies groups, and she's doing tremendous work moving ahead with her situation. It's very refreshing to see all the work she's doing with dreams, and also I help her with communication and staying in her feminine, and she's really accelerated in the past 2 months.
That's
with your help too, Patricia. She did have a dream. She had a script class with you as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize who it was, but
we have another caller. You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream you'd like to share?
I do. Hello.
Yes.
I'm here for you.
Okay. So I dreamed about a Native American woman about in her 70s with full Native American headdress and red and feathers and things like that. But I don't have any feelings around it. I just dreamed it, and I did what you said, mm-hmm. at the Lyman stage, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's all that came to me.
Well, that's a beautiful image, because that's a very, when you are not Native American, I gather, right?
No.
Okay. Well, when we are dreaming of, and we're not already a Native American, then you are dreaming of an earthy side of you. This is a very, of a core when it was a woman in it, but this is how you're thinking though, which represents I would say a very earthy side of how you are behaving and thinking. And how do you perceive a Native American woman? I also have to ask a person of their own perception. How do you perceive a Native American lady?
Okay, so I'm African American, but my family, my mom has told me that we have Cherokee in our family.
Oh, you are. I thought you said you were not. Oh, so you do have Native American in you. Okay.
Yeah, I just remember when you asked me, I'm like,
okay,
well, I'm
now we're getting to something. Okay.
Cherokee.
Okay, so you have Cherokee in your history somewhere, and so what is your perception of a Native American woman in full dress?
Spiritual, in touch with who she is, and really does not compromise because she's at a weight, wisdom and age and sagacious.
Right. So this is what this represents, a side of you that you are embodying. You are, this is really good for me to see your personal self-esteem is coming forth. You're seeing a side of you that is powerful and earthy at the same time.
Okay.
And this is a side of you that you are sensing intuitively, that you're intuiting your own inner power.
Okay.
How can you relate this to your waking life? How can we correlate and connect the dots to waking life? What's going on in your life where you are feeling and sensing and believing that you have some potency?
With dating and men, I feel like I'm getting stronger and stronger in by calling into this program on a regular basis too. So yeah, I feel like I'm shedding some old skin and stepping into my feminine power.
Look at what's emerging, this goddess, an Indian goddess, an Indian princess. Look who's emerging.
Right. Yeah.
You can go to sleep with that thought next to your bed. Write down, I am an Indian princess.
I am an Indian princess.
Write that in your journal.
Yes. I'm an Indian princess. Okay.
Let's see how that blossoms. Let's see how that blossoms, princess.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See, even one symbol can really tell a lot.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Call again.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Call again. Yes, please do. This has been a very great night for callers on questions and also dreams so far. Do you want to tell people a little bit about dreams on how they should grasp their dreams every night?
Yes, and I'll get a little blurb about my book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. It's found on Amazon, and it is called The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge. And I talk about everything from how to capture your dreams to what dream symbols mean and how dreams relate to our daily lives. I've been helping people for over 30 years in this work, and this is so powerful for your personal growth and transformation. So just like this last caller, I want to relate to this. The concepts that come through our subconscious mind are unfiltered, real, our true thoughts and feelings that are unfiltered. Whereas our conscious mind, our daily working mind, has so many filters that the real stuff doesn't really come through. So anyway, so back to my book.
That's a good
question. I go sideways.
No, that's good, because the subconscious is what we need to get up, isn't it? To
bring
to,
it up.
Yeah, yes. And we all operate on, you know, our conscious level, you know, the rights and wrongs. We can't say that. So going into the subconscious actually helps you heal and bring up the stuff you need to work on.
Right. So back to what I was saying, the yes. best way to capture your dreams, I talk about in chapter 7 in my book, is to keep a pad by your bed. I like a pad. Some people use a recording device, but I still don't think it's the best form, but anything will do. And write something down, like I just told the last, anything, even a question. I want to resolve this issue. I need an issue I want resolved. And your subconscious mind will work for you, and it comes to you in symbols. But upon waking, here's the biggest secret, and I go into more detail in the book, but to keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period of consciousness called the Lyman state. It's the state of consciousness between sleeping and waking, and it only lasts 3 to 4 minutes, but it doesn't even last that long if you open your eyes. So if you keep your eyes closed, the purpose of keeping your eyes closed is to grasp whatever images you might see, and with your eyes closed, just scribble on the paper, oh, cows, house, student, like the last that caller before, Indian princess. Just scribble Indian prince, Indian. So you can start to grasp these images with your eyes closed. The moment you open your eyes, you're out of the Lyman state. So have the patience, the discipline to practice this wonderful tool so you can start connecting to your subconscious mind through your dreams, and you build upon it. It's like anything new that we learn. When you first go to yoga class, nobody can do yoga poses. It feels awkward, but over time you get it and you start doing yoga. When you start learning an instrument for the first time, you can't do it. You don't know how, but you keep at it and you practice, and then you can play a song.
How do they set, you talk about setting the alignment. Let's say if somebody wants to work on something that's going on, you know, they're hurt with a boyfriend, or they, you know, they want to become, something happened in their life and they want to work on it. How do they get themselves to start dreaming? You talk about set your alignment.
Well, that's what I talked about, writing that. That's setting the alignment is what I call is putting it down on paper in your dream book next to you, saying, I want answers how to handle this boyfriend situation. And that's it. You put it away, put it next to you, and go to sleep. You will have some people always say, oh, I had the craziest dream. But gradually, little by little, the answers will start coming through, and not in a literal way. They will come through like you've been, if you've been listening here, we're on the LA Talk Radio, Dr. Pat Allen's Empowered Communication Show, including dreams. This is how it's done, so that you can connect and get answers from your own subconscious mind. We have the answers, people. We have more answers than we think we do. And people come to me. I teach this. I help them learn. And you can come to realizations that you couldn't even imagine.
True, true, true. So we if you have a dream you'd like to call us, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Please make sure, if you don't call us today, to write down your dreams and call us next week so we can, Patricia can interpret your dreams and you can start working through your subconscious and all through all your issues.
Now, what I also, what my book is unique, and Dr. Pat Allen has, and I have worked on this book together partly for many years, and is the bringing forth the masculine and feminine energies represented in the symbols in our dreams. And so you've heard me do some dreams already. And when men show up in our dreams, we're dreaming of our feelings. When women show up in our dreams, that's the men show up in our, that's the anima, and that is the feminine energy. It seems weird, but that's the way it is. It's the yin and yang of life. And when women show up in our dreams, we are dreaming of the animus, which is the feminine, the yin. Dreaming of the anima, which is the masculine energy. And that is our thinking, our productivity, how we do things. So again, then there are other symbols in the dreams in a hierarchy of people, nature, and things. So when we are dreaming, couple of callers, she was dreaming of the cows. That's nature. So when we're dreaming of things, we're further away from getting the message to consciousness. That would be a table, cars, objects. When we're dreaming of nature, we're moving up the hierarchy, getting closer to consciousness. It's bubbling through, and that would be animals, landscape images. Then we get to people. People is we're coming closer to consciousness, and then we depict what type of person that was, what aspect of ourselves that represents. So it's involved, seemingly evolved, and when you start accepting that your subconscious works in this mysterious way, you really can come a long ways in a short amount of time understanding yourself, what comes deep from within your own subconscious. And it's beautiful work. It's just wonderful to see people connecting and going aha with the ahas.
Yeah, I've seen that with the last couple of callers. They do. It's amazing how they can see how it works into their everyday life.
Yes, it is. It's just beautiful. And it's beautiful when people are also on a journey in the rest of their life. They're open, when they're open to personal growth and transformation and having successful relationships, things open up more quickly. It's just, it's wonderful adjunct to your personal growth.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Again, if you have a dream, call us at the radio show. Do you have anything else you want to share with the audience, Patricia, about dreams?
Yes, I will.
Or you've got a bunch of wisdom in there.
Oh, yes, indeed. Hang on a second. I'm just getting my book out here. This also happens to be a beautiful coffee table book. Besides all the information, it's a lot of dreamlike photographic images. My photography, too, by the way. And the wonderful, wonderful quote by Dr. Allen is, there will never be a man as strong as a woman is inside, and there will never be a woman as sensitive as a man is inside. Dr. Pat Allen. So that being said, that's how our dreams come to us in the masculine and feminine way, our thinking and our feeling. So the other parts we talk about is, one little moment here. I'll pull up. Oh, we also talk about colors. People often say they don't dream in color, and then all of a sudden they have something dramatic happens, and they go, yeah, I saw colors in my dreams. So colors are very impacting, and if you dream of something, an item or an image that it has a color, there is definitely meanings associated with. You may have a personal affiliation to a color yourself. Let's say your favorite car you ever had was a red car. So that has a personal connotation to you. But there are other connotations for colors as far as their meanings. So, for instance, someone dreams of something red. Well, the red represents the root chakra, which is located physically in the perineum. So that represents a symbol of our survival and our vitality and our passions.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Patricia. Sure. We have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Hello. Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm walking down the street and I'm noticing like all the things that are going on in the street. And it's not like I have a destination or anywhere. I'm going down the street, and then I look down and I see in the crack of the sidewalk, like where the sidewalk and the street meet,
the curb,
there's this the curb. Well, kind of, but it's like a crevice there. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking and I'm like, there's money. And so I bend down to pick up this money. And then I realize, oh my God, like there's more money coming out of this little crevice. And so immediately I look around, of course, to see like, ooh, what, whose money is this? There's no one there. And I like get this sense of like, I gotta hurry up and get, and as soon as I pull the money out of the thing, there's more money. And now I'm shoving it in my pockets, I'm putting it into my handbag. And now I'm getting worried because there's a sense of urgency. I wanna grab all the cash that I can get, but then I'm starting to be cognizant of people coming by. And then like I'm grabbing the money and it's just this thing, but then I'm feeling like, oh, and then I wake up.
Wow, that's a powerful dream. That's very a sense of abundance. But you see, it's coming from that when we dream of up in our dreams, things that are up in the sky, that's the masculine. When we dream of things that are down, that's the feminine. And so you are connecting with the abundance in your life coming from your feminine. So what is going on in your life where you are feeling your feminine feeling centeredness has a sense of abundance? And it's coming from the depths. That's what's going on in your life right now. I'm trying to help you connect the dots where you
need to.
Okay. Where are you? But then you have a sense of anxiety about it at the same time. After you recognize it, you recognize that you have this potential bubbling up from the center of the earth, so to speak. And now you all of a sudden you're feeling a little anxious about it, or what is the feeling? I don't want to.
I'm noticing. Well, help me find the feeling. I'm there. I'm on the street. I'm getting the money out of the crevice. I'm trying to like put it in as many places as I can. And then as soon as like I'm starting to overflow a little bit, like my handbag, I'm like, crap, I should have brought my bigger handbag and like putting, you know, like, why didn't I wear bigger pants? This, and then I'm feeling people that I don't anybody around, but I'm starting to feel as if people might come up, and then I'm going to have to like explain this money, this flow, or like try and like stop it, or like
now here's what's happening. Okay, so then even though you are experiencing, you're feeling a sense of abundance, and there's some form, there's something in your script that where you maybe feel guilty, you have some guilt, and you are not, is there something in your script where you are some, they told you or taught you that you're not worthy of abundance? Are you
feeling a
sense of unworthiness from having such abundance come to you?
Yeah, there's a feeling like I don't want people to be mad at me, I guess, or...
Well, guess what? You have a right. You have a God-given right to experience all the abundance the universe has to offer you. And
yes,
this is where you need to straighten your thinking out, because from a feeling-centered, you feel it, it's coming, and you feel... Mm-hmm. But then you're blocking it. You're all of a sudden... You wanting to block it from a sense of guilt for some reason. Now, that's what we would want to clean up. I'd want to clean up, why can't you experience all the gifts and abundance the universe has to offer you?
That's a good question. Why can't I? And I'm going to write that down and ask myself that, because
there
is there is an overflow of abundance, and it's just like there's even more. It's like beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, it's hard for me to even believe, and yet I still have these money issues.
Well, that's why we don't want to stop it, because that's where we have our own mental blocks. We have our scripted side of us that still imprints us from flourishing in life. And if you are flourishing, what's the only thing to stop it is you, when you energetically put the brakes on.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't want to be doing that. I mean, I do feel it in my waking life, you know, like with my cousins and with my immediate family. I mean, this is a new thing, like over the last 10 years, this is sort of come, like it's been happening. And now I'm now noticed that I feel like there's a gap between me and them, but not because I've put it there, because they say, oh, well, you're so fancy now. And well, I don't
guess what, guess what, you be you, you be you, you have every right, and whatever karma has come to you, you have a right to experience all the gifts of the universe. And I've always said that I'm not the one who excludes people in my life. They end up excluding themselves. And so be it. If they don't want to be in your life, you can accept everybody, and people will along the way decide to exclude themselves. And that's not your fault, and that's not for you to have guilt over, and that's for you to call me or and work your way through this and handle the envious people in life.
Yes, I am actually, I am working on that with the, I did have my script read, and it is very interesting how the dreams correlate. Like, how did this money coming out? Because this is one of many dreams where there's money coming out of like the wood or somewhere. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much of it, trying to like get it all. And then feeling
guilty, like, because of others.
Feeling guilty. You
have to clean up your act of guilt and unworthiness. So people have to handle their own crap, and you just do you.
Yeah. We're running to the end of our show here, ladies. Okay. So if you want to continue, call us back next week.
Call me for a dream reading.
Okay. Or you can call Patricia to work. You can work with Patricia more. Oh, there we go. Okay, everybody. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week, and we hope to have you back next week. Dr. Allen is scheduled to come on for the first 15 to 20 minutes. So please join us next Thursday at 4:00 and get some pearls from Dr. Pat Allen. Do you want to say goodbye, Patricia?
I think I'm gone. Are you there? Am I still here?
Yes, we're still on.
Okay, good. I just want
to wind it up. We got a minute
that
here.
All dreams wish us well, even if they're scary images. They're all bringing us messages from our subconscious for our personal growth and transformation.
Thank you. We'll see you folks next week. Thank you for joining us.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.